Blog Talk Radio.
Is she calling? Not yet. There she is. You gotta hold. Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD. I want to thank everyone for listening today. And before I talk about our guest, I just want to remind everybody in the Los Angeles area that I now have two adult support groups that I run. One is Wednesday evenings from 7:30 to 9 in Torrance, California. The address there is 2785 Pacific Coast Highway, and it's the Center for Learning Unlimited. And the other one is now Thursday nights in Culver City, and that's 5901 Green Valley Circle. And again, that's from 7:30 to 9. Both groups are doing very well. A lot of growth and a lot of acceptance and love in those groups. And I would appreciate it if any of you are listening in the Los Angeles area that you come and join us either Wednesday or Thursday night. So before I bring Karen Adams on, she's our guest today. And Karen is a coach. She's an author. She's a speaker. And I want her to tell us all about who she is and what she does. And we're also going to be talking about ADHD in marriage, maintaining balance and harmony. So I want to bring Karen on right now. Karen?
Hi.
This is Karen Adams.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Good, thank you.
Good. So Karen, before we talk about the subject, about ADHD in marriage, I was hoping that you might just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, about your dad, and also about what you do.
Okay. Well, first of all, excuse me, I live in the New Jersey area, and according to Dr. Edward Hallowell and John Rady, who wrote Driven to Distraction, I'm keeping my father's work as a legacy alive. And
okay.
My father, Dr. Leopold Belak, was the first to diagnose adults with ADHD, even when children were not being seen by psychiatrists yet. And that started in the 1960s.
Wow.
I've been coaching and consulting both domestically and internationally since 2003, and I run a publishing house that distributes our own psychiatric materials that my father, Dr. Belak, developed in the 50s, and they're still going strong and
wow.
Internationally.
Wow.
So with that being said, I have been speaking and coaching mostly adults and sometimes some children on ADHD issues. And I happen to have taught children for a short period of time that had special needs, and I wrote a book on ADHD success, which can be seen on my website, which is reachbeyondadd.com. And it helps children feel better about themselves and focus on one challenge at a time. Today, with that being said, I'm going to assume that most of my listeners have listened to other professionals that have worked with patients or, in my case, clients suffering from ADD or ADHD.
Yes.
And that being said, many people that are listening today will be familiar with the different challenges of either ADD or ADHD.
And I wonder if I could stop you for a minute, Karen, okay, because
sure.
I want to ask you some questions, if that's okay. I wanted
sure.
to talk a minute about the book that you wrote, because it seems very interesting, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that don't know about this book. So I really wanted to highlight this, and it's ADHD Success, Solutions to Boosting Self-Esteem, The Diary Method, Ages 7 to 17. Can you tell us all a little bit about this book and what it's all about?
The book is basically geared towards parents feeling less frustrated by assisting their kids to work through the diary methodology in terms of in terms of helping children learn cognitive behavioral skills by focusing on one challenge at a time. And the book is broken up into the different age brackets, and there's a it's a very simple workbook. It's not a textbook, although there is a section for parents at, in the back for them to, you know, plan and decide which spouse is doing what and if they're on the same page. It's mostly geared towards children to not only focus on one issue at a time, whether it's an issue that's described there, to be checked off, remembering to bring in one's homework, remembering to bring it back to school, or remembering to brush one's teeth or not shout out an answer in school. It's for home and school. And on the bottom of some of the pages, there's a very simple scoring piece that helps children write down how they're feeling about themselves of a scale of 1 to 10. And that way they start to become more aware of how they're feeling about themselves based on how they're doing in the chores and everyday issues that they're dealing with.
That's awesome. That's a great idea. Now, is this available for sale on Amazon or is it just your website?
No, it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's website and on Reach Beyond ADD.
Okay.
And I'll be happy to sign the book if it comes from Reach Beyond ADD most of the
time.
That's
great. That's great. That sounds like has it been very successful for you?
Yes, and it's been out for some years now, and it's published in Romania, India, and and Brazil.
Great. And would you say that most of the people that have used this book and have given you feedback have said that it's because it really helps them to focus, or the children to focus on one thing at a time, which I think is a great idea?
That's what the parents have told me. That and the teenagers can work on it themselves. And I've suggested that they ask their teachers if they do this work during vacations or summertime, could they get extra credit in case they need it or want it for working on this? And
that's great.
So,
and they're okay with that. The teachers are willing to give them extra credit.
I haven't mentioned it to the teachers. I haven't done that yet. I've mentioned it to organizations and parents to mention to the teachers to see if they would be interested in that.
Yeah, it's a really great idea. I love it. I really do. I want to get a hold of one of the books. I'm going to buy one. Sounds like it would be very helpful for my own clients too as well. So anything else in terms of what – now you're a motivational speaker – and you also are a graduate of the International Coaching Federation and several other coaching schools. Is that correct? That's great. What other kind of coaching schools? Are they all related to ADD?
Yeah, the ICF, International Coach Federation, is for life coaching. And the other two schools that I attended were specifically how to coach people with ADD.
Okay, that's awesome. That's great. And your practice is in Englewood, New Jersey, correct?
My practice is in Englewood, but I also have people that most coaching is done by phone, as you know, but sometimes sometimes people will call in from different parts of the country. But like I said, sometimes I get an email from someone overseas, and I can do Skype also. And mostly it's adults, but sometimes I do organizational work for adults and or children, and that's done in their homes or their offices.
Yes. Okay. Great. Do you have an office or you go to their houses? And
Individual clients, I go to their offices or their homes.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. I just want everybody to know what you do and how you do it, which is really important. So I think the topic today that you and I picked is great because I know that I work with a lot of couples myself, and a lot of times that we see one with ADD and one without, which can be a difficult situation. And then you have two people with ADD, which is what I have with my own husband, which works out very well for the both of us because we're both adults And a lot of us in this population, I'm sure you see yourself, are not emotionally individuated. And that's something that I do with my patients is work on that, because we all need to grow up emotionally. So it's ADHD in marriage, maintaining balance and harmony, versus living on the edge, which is really great, because I think that's what a lot of people do. And tell me, so what is this all about, and how did you come up with this, and how does this work?
Well, a lot of people that I see, one client is with ADD or ADHD and the other isn't. And
right.
They all seem to share common denominators as individuals and as a partnership. And I know that it's a great source of nuisance and aggravation to a large extent. And so that's why I decided to, you know, talk a little bit about it.
Okay. So let's start. You start. Tell me where you want to start with this, and we'll talk together about this.
Well, I lecture is I discuss the topic and go from there. So
okay.
I usually take questions and answers after that, and if I get and that's how I usually have been doing it for a number of years, wherever I speak. If anyone would like me to speak for them, or, you know, they can contact me on my website. So here we go. as I said, both conditions share some of the same issues, whether they have ADD or ADHD. And
right.
conditions similar, having this kind of condition is similar to buying a Ferrari in terms of that person was probably going to have a great mind, and the Ferrari has a great engine, but that person and that car will unfortunately lack something very important and vital, which is not having brakes. And what I
right.
mean by brakes is that person is tends to be somewhat out of control. So
mm-hmm.
in its place, medications and knowledge of the condition and therapy and coaching can do the trick to help replace the missing links in the brain that have short-circuited. Being that as it may, these conditions show up in brain scans just as when we bring our car to the repair shop and they hook the car up to an instrument that shows the problem. Often because the brain has malfunctioned to some extent, making marriage run smoothly is not so common. So
okay.
whether one has ADD or ADHD, the conception of time is lacking. Due to impulsive behaviors, one or both of the partners can get into debt, let mail pile up, bounce payments, not know how much is in one's credit card account, and basically sometimes say things that are inappropriate. Not to mention that employment and finishing college, if they go to college at all, are real aspects of this condition. And
mm-hmm.
learning to deal with their emotional issues of vulnerability and sensitivity is another major challenge as an individual, much less when you put yourself together with another person. So take, for example, Howie Mandel. The whole world knows now he has ADHD and OCD. Does
right.
anyone really care? Today we'll talk about not just the problems, but the simple solutions. In the 1970s, my late father wrote a book called Overload. Now, fast forward all these years later, and we live in a much more volatile world, and due to the electronic age, ADHD might just be harder to manage in a fast-paced world. Teachers and employers are under the gun more, and with that comes higher expectations. And that's the same with spouses who have higher expectations because of the pace of living. So there's much more competition in the world, and bear in mind, any strides a person can make with ADHD or ADD is quite remarkable. Recently, there was an article in the Atlantic magazine that was talked about on PBS.org about a neuropsychologist whose name is Dr. Nancy Ann Reason, which I think is cute because her last name ends with Reason, who
yeah.
has spent a majority of her years now, she's in her 70s, on studying the brains and behaviors of very famous writers like the Vonnegut's, Dr. Kurt Vonnegut, and his son, who's a pediatrician. Now, both of them have been open about their mental illnesses And this particular doctor talked a great deal about the incredibleness of creativity amongst writers who also have very challenging lives personally, but have been very, very successful in their fields.
Right.
So what came to mind was that these writers probably also suffered from ADD or ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Her emphasis was strictly on the creative mind, and as aggravating as ADHD can be, testing the tolerance and patience and empathy and compassion of the other spouse seems to be a common denominator. But I want my listeners to keep in mind today that as aggravating and problematic ADD and ADHD can be and is, being bipolar or schizophrenic or having autism or Down syndrome is much more complicated and is much more complicated.
Yes.
The ADHD spouse, very often that I've seen over the years, is kind of embarrassed and full of shame and often is very reluctant to give the other spouse a book on ADHD to help them understand the other spouse more. So it's almost as if the ADHD spouse doesn't know about the book, it won't be so prevalent that the person that they married has ADHD. It's something like being 7 months pregnant and pretending that no one can tell.
Right.
So what are the solutions there? Along with ADHD comes issues of control and lowered feelings and compulsivity. What I've told my clients is to have the courage to do certain things, and there are six things that I'm going to outline today, that can be solutions to complicated problems that ADHD and ADD brings with it.
Okay.
Number one, delegating to the spouse that does not have ADD, if that's the case, what's most difficult and a constant issue in the marriage is something really important. Delegating means sitting down yourself and really being honest and evaluating what it is that comes very difficult to you, and then discussing with the spouse what can be done about it. And in an instance of a couple that I'm dealing with now, for some reason, even though they've been married for 27 years, it never occurred to the non-ADD spouse to say, honey, I'll take care of the bills, I'll take care of the mail. And even after the spouse with ADHD had a nervous breakdown at work, it didn't occur to either of them that delegating could be a solution to a complicated issue as ADHD.
Right.
So
could I interrupt you for a minute? Because I
prefer just to go on, and then if there's things to talk about afterwards, can it wait so that I can, you know, just
make sure
that people are focused on these six things
at least.
And then after that? Okay, thank you. So making a list of those things that are really very difficult by yourself and then with your spouse is a solution to feeling one of the spouses to feel extremely overwhelmed. The second thing is to plan, decide, and act, which simply means that because procrastination is such an issue, to then sit down and decide what it is specifically what one spouse is going to do versus the other one, and how can each of them help each other better, and what tweaks need to be made. Basically, if you plan, decide, and act, then you will not be so full of indecision and live less of a life with procrastination. So first I said delegating. The second one I said plan, decide, and act. And the third one is keeping it simple. Keeping it simple really is a way to have a more blissful marriage. But what can be simplified in this life? Well, that's for the two of you as a partnership to discuss. Since the ADHD mind tends to complicate things and confuse things, can the one without ADHD, if there is such a couple like that at the time, help the other one make things less complicated? And most often that is the case. And in any couple, one partner is going to have an easier time at one thing and the other one's going to have an easier time at something else. You don't have to have ADD or ADHD to have this issue. The next thing that I want to talk, the next solution to complicated issues is bearing the discomfort to get the comfort. So what does that mean? It means that people that I see and that Justine sees are very often not willing to do things that make them feel uncomfortable. Let's say doing the bills is something that the ADHD spouse hates to do, and they get they build up, and payments get lost, and payments don't get paid, and things like that. So the more a client can be told to bear the discomfort to get the comfort, the more likely they're going to be willing to move those muscles and actually do something and find out that the comfort comes as a result of doing the things that are uncomfortable. The sixth thing is for couples to think secure thoughts. For example, a spouse may often, you know, harp on another spouse, why don't you do this, why don't you do that, you're always doing this, there's no matching towels, you forgot to buy me toothpaste, and you're always late, and, you know, things of that nature. Well, if two spouses can learn the habits of thinking secure thoughts, then they may be in better shape to feel better about each other. And what I would suggest is that just as I suggested that a couple sit down and decide what chores each one is going to do and have a meeting, let's say, once a month, I would suggest that once a month they take time out to remember what it is that got them interested in marrying each other in the first place. Because, quite frankly, these aspects of courting and going out get thrown by the wayside in the type of world in which we're living, which is hustle and bustle and bustle and hustle. So before I go on anymore, Justine, what were you going to say?
You know what? Are you up to number six? Are we getting on to number six? Is that what we're doing? Because I think I want you to finish now, and then I'll ask. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So number one is delegating. Number two is plan, deciding, and acting. Three is keeping it simple. Oh, maybe I'm missing one. Four is bearing the discomfort to get the comfort. Five is thinking secure thoughts. And six is looking at the total picture. The total picture means when I have a client that, let's say I have a physician as a client, which I do, he would often get panic-stricken and he had a breakdown. I seem to get sometimes some complicated cases.
Okay.
He would only look at the partial view, not the total view, and panic. And now he's been trained through the coaching process to be able to look at the total picture and say, well, that may be true that I'm in trouble in this instance, but on the other hand, I'm not going to act at the time when I'm being spoken to by a supervisor and get all bent out of shape. So these basic sayings can really help an individual. And as I always say, a bridge with just one side being held up on one side of the bridge, it cannot be strong. It needs two, one on each end to hold up the bridge.
No,
and these are secure posts for the mind to use that can help help a situation. So I know that there are issues of compulsiveness and boundaries and much more. And often a non-ADD spouse will feel as though their belongings and their household items are not cared for, and the ADHD spouse is sloppy and maybe even have some hoarding issues. As it's been said, ADHD is very often a curtain, and behind the curtain are other issues, like I just mentioned, whether it's depression,
co-occurring disorders. And
mobility. Also
the executive function deficits, yeah.
Right.
They are behind
the
curtain.
So the reality is that along with ADHD comes other issues, and what I see most is that ADHD persons suffer a great deal from, number one, not understanding that they have ADHD. Number two, if they know they have it, that to try and keep it quiet from the other spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that sooner or later, as all mental conditions, if not treated, just like a car who doesn't have its oil changed and so
right.
on and so forth and puts antifreeze in, it's gonna show up. So
right.
I encourage, and it doesn't always work, I encourage people who have ADHD to give a book to their spouse and let them start to understand the disorder. In this case, ignorance is not bliss. Not knowing,
right.
And the reality is, just as Dr. Andreessen had learned and so many other people have learned in neuropsychology and neuroscience, that any disorder, whether it's schizophrenia, bipolar, ADHD, depression, and so forth, are very basically connected through the gene pool.
Right.
So if it doesn't show up right away in a child, their manifestations occur, I've studied, between the ages of 18 and 25. So eventually the rabbit's going to come out of the bag. And
right.
if you do take your child and your adolescent to a psychiatrist or someone of that nature, they are probably, if they're worth their name in gold, will probably want to know a family history, just the same
mm-hmm.
as in breast cancer.
So
right. it's important to be aware and to understand these things, the more the better. And it takes
right.
courage for people to be open and not to be accusatory all the time.
Right.
So couples will discuss very often vacations, fixing the car, the kids and other things, but not always their relationship. So I can't emphasize enough a solution to the complications of having a harmonious marriage and not living on the edge is what? It's communication. It's crucial,
right.
crucial to listen carefully to the other spouse. And there's a method called imago, which means image in Latin, where people will be trained to do certain types of speaking and talking to the other spouse so that the other spouse actually really hears very clearly what the other one is saying without any peripheral verbiage. And eventually, whatever lack in trust there is, and lack of understanding can be dissolved. It's a very special
right.
type of therapy,
right.
and I'm not diminishing regular psychotherapy, but in cases where there are complex issues, along with ADD and ADHD, I know it can be extremely helpful. So not only is communicating very important, but being open and honest. And I think getting together with your spouse once a month to discuss things in a safe way without being accusatory and without being overreacting and coming from the attitude is, I need your help, honey. You know, could you help me with this, that, or the other, can be
right.
extremely helpful in terms of making a marriage, you know, run on healthy fuel. So,
right. Okay. These are great. You know, I agree with what you're saying here. So you're saying there's a lot of shame in ADHD, which we both know because we see it a lot. And so we're married. We've been married for, let's say, 10 years. In the beginning, things were really great. What I noticed is that in the beginning of relationships with people with ADHD, because remember, I have it, and I've been through two marriages. And I remember myself before I was emotionally individuated and I have neuroplasticity in my brain because of mindfulness and meditation. So I am in control of my negative symptoms now. But prior to that, in my marriages, things were not good. In the beginning, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I was creative. I was an out-of-the-box thinker, and, you know, I used to like to laugh a lot and go out and have a good time. And then you get into the doldrums, the day-in and day-out relationship things that have to happen. I know for myself, for years, I could was not regulated when it came to money at all. And that was a big problem for the people that I was married to. And so I didn't even know until I was 41 years old that I had ADD. So there was no book to give at that point in time. And there's a lot of people out there, as you have seen and I have seen, who really don't know that they have it. And you want to kindly tell them when parents bring their kids in, want me to fix their kids, and I notice, wow, first of all, I don't fix anybody, but that there's a lot of that going on in the family because, as you just talked about, this is very genetic, you know, very gently leading them down that path of, you know, I think you have attention deficit disorder, because sometimes they don't even know, and they're in a relationship where things are just really falling apart. So have you had people come to you like that where they don't know they have it?
But most of the
okay. –
For the listeners tonight, I'm not very worried about the listeners that are listening tonight. Most of the listeners that come to lectures and listen to these type of podcasts are not the ones that I'm as concerned about. And the ones that come to me have already usually seen another professional and haven't gotten very far, or their kids dropped out and they don't know what to do with them and stuff. But most of the people that I've seen over the years have an idea of what's going on. But the reality is that there has to be solutions, not just problems. And I try to explain to people that very often, although it can be expensive, the trick to working into the solution of these issues is by imagining a stool. A stool has three legs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first leg would be psychiatry, the second leg would be psychotherapy, and the third leg would be coaching.
Psychotherapy. It can be cognitive behavioral therapy, or it can be mindfulness, or it can be different kinds of therapy. It doesn't necessarily always have to be psychotherapy.
That's true. However, what I was saying is very often patients to save money will have gone to general practitioners or nurse practitioners.
Right.
And in the end, they keep getting scripts and not getting monitored and not being aware enough of whether the medicine is working or not working or partially working. And I can't emphasize enough that this shortcut to saving money very often backfires.
Right.
And, you know,
no, I agree with that. Yeah.
And the kids in college, it's no secret, will sell ADHD drugs to people that need to stay up at night, who don't have ADHD, and this is a side problem that comes from having nurse practitioners and general practitioners and internists giving scripts very loosely to be filled without the kid being monitored. So whether the client or the patient is an adult or whether you have a college kid, the reality is that there is a rule that you have to be seen every 3 months, a psychiatrist, to be evaluated. And the colleges have psychiatrists nearby. And if it gets to be expensive, you can always call your insurance company and see which psychiatrist and psychologist are in your plan.
Right.
And that way you can cut costs and things.
It's unfortunate,
of that
though. I don't know about in New Jersey or New York, but it's unfortunate that out here in California it's very difficult to find, especially where I am right now, to find really good psychiatrists that are under the HMO plans, especially. What I have found is that a lot of them just kind of write the prescriptions and you know, don't do the follow-ups. We have some really great psychiatrists here, but unfortunately, they don't take insurance. They'll give you a bill to submit to insurance, and I tell my clients, you know, this is worth the money because you really need to make sure that you're getting the right medication and also the right kind of follow-up. But I don't know about in New Jersey, but a lot of the psychiatrists that are under, that you can go to under a plan, I have found myself that they're not as astute as some of the other ones.
It's unfortunate. I've never known a psychiatrist to be in an HMO plan. I don't think that that is something that may exist. Although I'm not sure under Obamacare. However,
well, they do exist. Except I'm just saying, what I have found is that they're not as good as the ones that unfortunately don't take.
But you have to be very fortunate. And recently, a client found a psychiatrist that was more thorough than most psychiatrists that I've known that don't take insurance. So that was a tremendous streak of luck. But I can't emphasize enough that if you try and take shortcuts, it can easily backfire. And money, it doesn't grow on trees, and many patients and clients will try to bypass seeing someone on a regular basis because it does add up unless they're in your insurance plan. But what I say to people, and I say to parents who are paying tuition for colleges, is I say, if your son or daughter has epilepsy, why would you deny them the medication to not have seizures? So if an adult or a teenager or a college-age kid has blurred vision, would you not take them to give them glasses? So basically, I feel as though while people do not want to give their kids medication, and I'm not over amplifying medication always, and they do have side effects very often, sometimes not, but very often, it's really important to consider doing it the best way and the right way in the beginning, and seeing if wearing the glasses or taking the medicine, so to speak, for a seizure,
right,
so to speak, will do the trick. If a kid is having trouble, and ADHD often comes with dyslexia and learning issues such as visual and auditory processing disorder, and those two things are not, we're still very behind in mental health issues, unlike in the physical medicine is way beyond medical medicine, unfortunately, that if you can give your child an opportunity to not feel so bad about themselves and not feel like they're in la-la land so much, or that they're the Ferrari with no brakes, then why wouldn't you help them? It's the low-income and lower middle-class income people that will not be on these podcasts, will not go to lectures, will not go to doctors, and their kids will end up dropping out of high school, taking drugs, and becoming thugs, and end up in jail. These are not the people that we're talking about, and very often these are the ones that need it as much, if not more, than our listeners, which is
you're right. Bad. Yeah, I agree with you, and I feel terrible sometimes when I think about some of the people who have to deal with the school systems, and I know you know about this because you were teaching for a while, when they're told that there's no way they can get accommodations or they're not entitled to accommodations, and these are lower income that don't have the money to go and hire somebody to come in and help them. So I've had some podcasts with some special ed teachers to give those people the information, and hopefully they're listening. Maybe they're not, but I sure hope so, because it really breaks my heart when I think about how some of these children have to go through school. And then, like you just said, as I believe that addiction begins with ADD, because so many of us have addictive personalities and we self-medicate, when you're not on the right medication, this is when this kind of thing happens. Because I have a lot of parents who are terrified of putting their children on prescription medications, and I say to them, well, you know, they will end up on illicit drugs, I can promise you, because I've seen this happen over the 21 years that I've been coaching. So it's a reality, and I am sad for that population that they don't have more things out there for them to grab from very easily. Okay,
yes,
I thought I lost
you.
Okay.
No, I agree with you. I was so basically, this has been my speaking engagement, and it just so happens that ADD and addiction start out with the same three letters, and I don't know if it was an accident or not, but very often people that don't want to take medications will self-medicate and will use alcohol and drugs to try and hide the side effects of being out of it, or hyper, or out of control, or unemployable,
right,
or not teachable.
Right.
I strongly suggest that if people have questions, to email either me or Justine on our website, and I can speak for myself. I'd be happy to answer those questions. And
I do have some questions. I have an area on my website that people can post some questions for the upcoming podcast, and they do it while it's going on as well, instead of calling in, which is a good idea. So here's the first question. So all your points are great, but my husband says he wants to change, but it never happens. It seems that he can't follow or change in any way. So what am I to do? I am at my wit's end. Do I get a divorce? I'm sure you've heard this before.
Well, I can't. I would have to know a lot more about the aspects of this. And
right,
change is very hard. And it starts with a change of an attitude and having courage. Those are the two bottom lines: attitude and courage to make a change. Any shift in behavior is monumental, like I had mentioned earlier on in my presentation. I meant to mention that when we point a finger at spouses, the other three fingers point back at us. So
right,
what I wanted to say is, when we lower our expectations of others, our own ability can develop to be more tolerant and patient and loving. But
right,
if a person is truly scared that they're going to lose their spouse, and they really believe it, that can be a breaking point, and that could cause the spouse to go for the help and treatment that they need. If someone's
right,
just talking the talk and just trying to soothe the spouse, and that will not work. And we all know
right,
the definition of an insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Right.
So that would be something that this listener could say to the spouse, that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And
right,
I'm sure that these issues have not been new, and basically people don't get the help that they need, whether they're very compulsive or whatever their issues are, because they're full of fear. So rather than being exasperated, maybe you can be empathetic that your husband is extremely full of fear and maybe very narcissistic, which often comes.
Well, I think sometimes what happens, though, in situations like this is that they've waited too long, and I'm not saying that the marriage can't be repaired. I don't believe that, but this question sounds to me like this person is kind of at their, as they said, their wit's end. And so when they wait too long, then their empathy kind of disappears because, you know, they've been dealing with this for a number of years, and they have, you know, maybe tried to reach out and to tell the other spouse how they felt, and there's been no change, and maybe they'd never gone for any kind of help. Sounds like possibly they haven't. And that's an issue, too. I'm telling everybody who's listening that don't wait till the 90th hour to go for help. Get help as fast as possible. You know, even in the beginning of a marriage, if you see things that aren't good, you know, you can go and get help and you can start building in partnerships. I mean, that's very important. And what you just said about fear, you know, this is what I talk about a lot in my adult support groups that I run and with my individual clients, that the fear that we have stops the creative side from coming out, and it also stops us from being able to communicate effectively. So I think that's part of what's going on here with this person as well.
I would also suggest that there be a separation and the two possibly live separately for a while so that the reality of divorce may become more
yeah.
real. And,
yeah.
And just as people take a vacation from medications after being on them for a long time, it's good to take a vacation from the spouse and reevaluate things from another perspective.
Yeah, that's a really good idea because I think, as you said, sometimes when you tell the other person, you know, I'm done and I really have to leave for a while, that's very possibly when the person with ADD can really go out and search out some help. They can say, I think I need some help now. I can't continue like this. Or maybe not. I mean, you just don't know. But it's a good idea to separate for a little while. They put some space between each other. It's good.
Any other remarks from listeners?
Yes. My husband has ADD. At first, life was full of fun. But now that we have kids, two boys and one girl, 4, 5, and 8, it feels like I have 4 kids. I've heard this so many times. He starts projects and does not finish. He loses things, and he does not follow through with the kids. What can I do? He says he wants to change, but nothing ever changes. Yeah.
Well, it's a sad state of affairs, and
yeah.
Making any change in behaviors is really excruciating and no pain, no gain. So, like I said, can you delegate some things to somebody else other than your husband or not? And, you know, what are your priorities in terms of what's most important that he do versus what's not that important that you can do and pick up the slack, or again, have somebody else, if you work full-time or whatever, to be able to help out. Because just as medications will make up for the brain malfunctions, there needs to be someone in addition to perhaps you and your husband that can also be part of the mix to you know, release some of the stress and aggravation.
Right. I've heard this a lot from a lot of my clients who will say, I feel like I have another child. And a lot of this stems from the fact that emotionally they've never individuated and grown up. A lot of it is being tethered, mental disorders and tethered to the past. And I do a lot with schema therapy with people too at the same time, just to help everybody grow up and get to that place of being a partner. I mean, when you have 3 children and you're not really pulling the weight, that's very difficult for the other spouse to have to deal with. It really is. So I think there's some things that really have to change in that family in order for this situation to work out because, you know, I would be saying as the wife, well, okay, what difference does it make if I get divorced? Because I'm dealing with these kids alone anyway. So I think a lot of these people have to grow up and learn how to take responsibility for themselves. I think blaming other people is the downfall of our humanity right now. It's your fault. No, you know, and I my groups that I run, you know, I've got some real growth going on. I've got people that were kids, little babies when they showed up to group, and now we're talking about people who are now adults emotionally. And this is a completely different look because they're taking responsibility and they're doing their thing and their spouses are happy because they're acting like they're a partner and not just another one of the kids, which is wonderful.
And very often the spouse that suffered from ADHD grows up so much after 1 or 2 years of coaching, accepts unhappily that the other spouse who does not have ADHD has some severe problems themselves, and that limits that spouse from taking responsibility for their own mental issues.
Right.
And for their own inability and unwillingness to handle finances or other responsibilities. So if you have a fabulous therapist or coach that understands ADHD issues and has methodology that can be practically used, such as the six things that I mentioned, secure thoughts, total picture, keeping it simple, and acting, planning, and deciding, and things of that nature, these kinds of skill sets and tools can help someone grow up and be more able to deal with the other spouse's lack of responsibility and unwillingness to, as Justine said, grow up. And by the way,
right.
when you have ADHD, it's pretty much known amongst all us professionals that chronologically you may be 20, but
right.
they subtract about 5 years off of that. So if you're 20, you probably have an emotional growth
right.
of a 15-year-old, and then you add that to the fact that people have problems conceiving of time. So that backfires, and that keeps people in a loop of denial and lack of responsibility. So ADHD is not schizophrenia, it's not bipolar, it's not autism, it's not Down syndrome, and it's not OCD, but it comes with a bunch of things that can be quite disrupting. And in the days when Einstein was around, they knew very little, and often kids were pulled out of school and didn't get along. These kids did not get along with others. And many actors and actresses, whether it's Dustin Hoffman or Tom Cruise or other people,
everybody should look at my book
because
why? That's exactly what I was going to say. Is the people you're talking about are in my book? All these very successful people that have ADD. Yeah, Tom Cruise and all those people.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I'm about finished. I don't know about.
Okay. Well, that's great. You know what? It was really nice to have you on the show. I appreciate your time and all your very important information. I'm not going to hang up. I'm going to be spending some more time on the show today. But you have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right. You have a great day.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. So I do have a couple of other things that I wanted to discuss, and I think that along the lines of what we were talking about in the whole marriage and husband and wife situation, I think there's a lot of people out there that are struggling. I know myself, I struggled myself in my first two marriages, and it was not fun. It was very difficult. I'm now married to somebody who has ADD, and we are both emotionally individuated and happy, and we're both adults, so we're doing very well. And so I would encourage anybody out there who's listening, who is having issues in their relationships, to contact me, please, on my website. It's Justine@missadd.com. I can do phone consultations. I can do Skype. If you're in the Los Angeles area, I have an office in Torrance. I also am able to use an office in West LA once a week. So anybody that needs any help, please feel free to contact me. I would love to do that. I was talking a few minutes ago about my book, which is ADD Land, The Gift of ADD, and it really highlights for people in your life that are negative about having ADD. It highlights all these actors and writers and artists and politicians and musicians and athletes that have ADHD and are just very successful. It seems like because they have a passion, then they're okay, and they can move forward. Actually, the owner of GoPro, I was reading an article about him this week, and he is ADHD. He talks about it, and he says that one of the reasons his company is now worth $1 billion is because he found his passion and he was able to move forward in life and have a great life. He's doing wonderful. So there's so many people out there with ADHD that do have a gift. We are very, very creative people. We are out-of-the-box thinkers. We're not boring. We're not linear and progressive. But we do have co-occurring disorders like anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, personality disorders, and we also have the executive function deficits, or as I call them, the negative symptoms of ADHD, which are impulsivity, inability to regulate our emotions, inability to focus. Time is a big one for us, not being able to tell how long we've spent working on something. I have people tell me they can look at the clock and then look back and 4 hours later they've been hyper-focusing on something, so they basically have lost a good portion of the day. But ADD by itself, and once we get in control of the negative symptoms or the executive function deficits, then we're doing well. I am in control of my executive function deficits through mindfulness and meditation. And that kind of brings me to why I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. There won't be a show for 2 weeks because I'm going up to San Francisco and I'm going to be taking a seminar with Lydia Zylowska. And she is actually the person who started the mindfulness program at UCLA. So I'm going to be taking a class with her, which is great. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. So I'll be gone for 2 weeks, but I'll be back. I'll be back the following week. And I think I have. Do I have a caller? Do I have a? Okay. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Please, that would be great. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Justine.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, Tom, I would love to hear about the ADD conference. How did it go?
Oh, it went. It was really great.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Did you meet a lot of people?
The first day we crashed it. You know, we just showed up.
Okay.
We hadn't. Yvonne and I talked, and I just figured I'd just go ahead and bite the bullet and spend the money. So we went ahead and registered. So we went through the full day on Friday. Thursday I was in the lobby with Yvonne, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder. It was Jeff Copper.
Great.
Yeah, I mean he and I are. I've never met him, but you know we've talked on the phone and a lot. But that was a lot of fun. Really, really nice guy. He did he just got right into a video interview. He carries his whole kit with him. You know, in his duffel bag. He set up the whole studio by a sofa and just started into that. And I met Alan Brown. That was a lot of fun.
Right. He's going to be on the show on August 17th. He and I have talked.
Oh, cool.
So he's going to be back
That'll
on,
be great.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Lori Dupree, I met her.
Okay.
Really nice lady.
How many people were there?
I asked somebody, they said registered was somewhere around 400 or 500. But,
oh, wow.
You know, it was really, really cool just to, it was kind of surreal, you know, just all these faces that, you know, I'm used to seeing on Facebook and on other places like that. And then, you know, they're all just kind of here. And some people was like, I guess that could be the, Rick Green was there. We had a chance to talk to him and his wife for a little while. That was kind of fun.
Okay.
But the people there were just really just super.
That's just great.
Really great people. And it wasn't a bunch of, scientific kind of stuff. It was more like what you do on your show and what, you know, I do, you know, it's just, you know, real stuff that, that you know,
right.
is a help to people.
Right, which is great. I love that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
When is it, maybe next year if it's closer to L.A., I'll make my way to that. I don't know.
Yeah, they, I asked if when or where. I don't know that they've even announced a location for next year.
Okay.
Because I know last year it was in Detroit, and then this year it was, you know, in Orlando. So maybe it will be over on the West Coast next year for you. If it is, I don't imagine I'll be there, but that's too far to drive, and, you know, I don't fly.
Yeah, I wouldn't be driving out to the West Coast from the East Coast.
I'd have about enough time to drive down there, spend a day there, and then drive back.
Yeah.
And then my vacation
would take that long. Yeah.
Would be over.
So
so
maybe you can talk to me a little bit about what you think about relationships in ADHD, because
it was fun being there with Yvonne.
You two get along. You do so well, and the both of you. I think Yvonne probably has ADD as well, just like Steve and I.
Oh, she does. Okay.
Yeah, but there's an understanding between the two of you, and it's not like you end up taking care of each other. I think the two of you are partners, so you do your stuff, you know.
Do
what you need to do. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people out there that are suffering, though, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, what me and Yvonne have is great, but you know, it's not without its ups and downs. I mean, even in the car, you know, being in the car for
a long time.
9 hours.
Yeah.
You know, on the way home, it's like, I don't know, it's probably five hours into the drive. I don't know. She said something that irritated me, or I don't even know what. I think it was her reading the GPS, and she got us all the wrong. I don't know what it was, but she snapped, or I snapped, and I said, "You know what? Just 1 hour timeout. That's it." You know. And we sat there for an hour, and we didn't talk. And then after an hour, we just, you know. So you feel a little
better?
That's
great.
I do.
That's great.
And that, I think that's usually what me and Yvonne do. It's not usually. You know, I don't usually give it a title like we're going to take a timeout. I did that day because I was just really irritable and I just wanted it to end quick. But,
you know what, though,
Tom? Yvonne,
I have to tell you something. It's a very intelligent thing to do. I tell couples that I see all the time to say to each other, I need a timeout. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's a really good thing to do.
I've come home and entered the house like exactly the wrong way to enter the house, you know, meaning my mannerisms, what I say and how I said it and what I did. And Yvonne just looks at me with her mouth open like she's about to scream. I said, wait. Hold on. I'm going to
go outside.
I want a do-over. Give me a do-over.
That's very funny.
I want a do-over.
See?
Just please give me a do-over. And I'll just come in the way I'm supposed to, and she acts like I just came home for the first time. I mean, she legitimately gives me the do-over.
See? I love it. That's perfect. That works so well, you know, and I just think people need to figure this out. I personally think that you need to laugh more. I mean, not you, because you laugh all the time. I'm talking about people in general. If they could not take this so seriously and just love each other and understand that, you know, this is going to work itself out if you do the work that you have to do. And it's not hard. It's doing the do-overs, or it's taking timeouts, or it's taking responsibility for screwing up the garbage or whatever. I don't know. You know?
Right.
People take it so serious, and it's not that serious.
Yeah, you know, it's just pick your battles. You know what I mean?
Right.
Something stupid that, you know, she says in the car or I said in the car is, I mean, there's no real damage done. I mean, it was just a word that was said, so... You know, even regardless of what she says, you know, I mean, I know how Yvonne feels, so it's like, you know, all right, I get this. You know, she's got an anxiety disorder, and she's ADD, and I get all that, obviously. But, so I just let it go. I mean, and my mom told me, pick your battles, Tom, in my first marriage, but I didn't want any of them because she went to the mat on everything. So, I mean, that's, of course, why that didn't work. There was no... You know, there's no game with it. You know, it's almost like a game with us sometimes when that kind of stuff comes up.
Yeah, yeah. Now, your mom's right. Picking your battles, even with kids, I tell parents all the time, like kids with messy rooms, that's not a battle to take. shut the door so you don't have to see the room. And they'll suffer the consequence when they go to, they want to wear something that's dirty. Oh, well.
Yeah, and you know, it was like that with Brett, because his room was getting so bad and so bad. And then I noticed one day, you know, he was doing his homework in the den, which he never does, you know. I said, Brett,
right.
What are you doing? He says, I'm doing my homework. I said, why aren't you doing it in your room? And he just kind of looked at me. I said, yeah, because it's kind of no fun to, you know, work in a shit pit, is it? And he goes, no. And I said, well, you made that shit pit, so go do your homework in it. I said, because the TV's on and there's no way you can do homework with the TV. However, I know you can do homework in a shit pit, because when I was your age, that's the only place I ever did homework. So get on back upstairs, you know, and that's what he did. And, of course, I'm not going to say he learned his lesson, cleaned his room.
No.
Sure he just raked a bunch of crap off his desk, but, you know, hey,
right.
It doesn't matter. I won.
Right. No, but, I mean, that's the kind of thing that if they learn that that's their domain, kind of like their apartment, it's like a dress rehearsal for life. So if you're going to, you know, walk in and you find dirty clothes all over the floor and then you want to wear something to work the next day and you got nothing to wear, well, you got a problem. Maybe you need to start picking stuff up and washing it sooner. I mean, I just think there's natural consequences in life that happen for adults and kids. And I think if all of us allow our kids to suffer some of those natural consequences and our spouses instead of making everything right, then I think there's some change that happens. And it doesn't have to be all serious and, you know, we're going to have a four-hour conversation about this, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
But we actually stayed an extra day just to go to the conference you know, I would have just, you know, went there Friday and, you know, said my hey's and hey, how you doing? And then we'd have, you know, Yvonne actually, you know, she knew I wanted to go, and I didn't make a big thing of it because I wasn't sure that she, you know, really wanted to, but, you know, she actually pushed me to do it, you know.
That was great.
So, I'm really appreciative to her for that because, you know, it wasn't cheap. But, you know, that was a
And I read,
really big,
I read your
big
vlog,
thing.
And I heard you went on. Did you go on a roller coaster? Did I read that correctly, or you couldn't?
Yeah, you know,
talking?
I wrote. I did. I'd never done this before. I wrote and posted two blogs today. I've never done two in a day, but I did one for each blog. The one of them I did on the ADD conference, and the other one that you probably read was the roller coaster. Yeah, and
yeah.
You know, I got real panicky when we walked in the place, and it's not because I was afraid of, you know, the roller coaster I'm not even on. I could kind of see what was going to happen. You know, Yvonne's down there, and she's excited, and she wants to ride this ride, or the Rip It Rocket, whatever it is. I don't know. You know how the roller coaster, like, it'll kind of go up at a 45-degree angle, like, you know, and you go to the top, and then you go to, okay, this one goes straight up. You know, you're looking at the sky going straight up, and then it goes over and down. Yeah, and it went up really high. So I just wasn't. You know, I figured that maybe I could build up to that, but I wasn't ready to do that right away, you know. And she wanted to go ride this ride, and I said, and I was getting all panicky. I mean, almost because I knew I was about to ruin our day, you know, because I'm not going on that ride, and she's not going to go by herself, obviously. So I'm just, and I was getting all bent out of shape, and she says, you know what, Tom, it's okay. Don't even worry about it. Let's just go do something else. And I'm like, are you? Thinking she said, no, come on, don't just. She goes, no, I'm serious, let's just go. So we went and rode Harry Potter. And I'm not kidding when I tell, and if you read it, I mean, you read it. We were in line for 5 hours. And
I can't.
It was funny.
That's amazing.
You know, have you seen the movies, the Harry Potter movies?
No, I'm embarrassed to say I have not.
Well, that's okay.
I know.
You just have
it's
more
really
important
bad.
Things to do, watch TV. I don't. But anyway.
It's really bad.
There was
this
bank. There was this bank with these little elf-looking people, and they're the bankers, you know.
Yeah.
And they had the whole bank built, you know, as part – when you go through a line, you're in different scenes of the movie pretty much, and this was the bank. You know, you're in the actual bank, basically. Yeah, where Harry went to draw out his money or whatever. But anyway, you know, it was really cool when we got there, but we were in that bank for 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
And,
wait, is
this
Disneyland?
Well, the ride broke. When we got to the
Disney
bank –
I mean, Disney World?
No, it was at Universal Studios.
Oh, Universal. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God! 2 hours?
They said it would be at least an hour, so it ended up being 2 hours. But so you know, everybody that's in line, and we were in the air conditioned bank. There was a bunch of saps that were outside in the hot sun. I was glad to be in the bank, you know. But,
oh my God!
We all just kind of sat down, and there was this big group of people that we were all sitting, and you know, I was just running my mouth the whole time, and Yvonne was, you know, she put her iPod in, and I'm just kind of bored later, and then she asked me if I want one of the ears, you know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, so we're both listening to, and some song came on, some Guns N' Roses song, Sweet Child of Mine, and when he gets his voice up real high, I started singing it, like, really loud as I could, and everybody that was in line was just crying, laughing at it, because Yvonne was trying to get me to stop, but I wouldn't give the ear back. I was just seeing how far I could take the embarrassment for her, because obviously I wasn't embarrassed at all. But
that's great.
And, she was like wrestling. So me and Yvonne are like having this wrestling match in the bank in this line. She's trying to get the earbud away from me, and I couldn't even believe the people were losing it. You know, I mean, I got email addresses from like two or three of them, and I can't remember. They, all three of them had a friend request them, and they all subscribed to my blog. It was just really funny how that all worked
That's
out.
That's great. Well,
but,
I'm sure
so
there's plenty of ADD people waiting in line, you know?
Oh, I'm sure of it. But, you know, the fun part of the line was the bank, I guess. Anyway, but all the people were really fun. But, you know, that's funny because we waited in line 5 hours the first day we were there. So it was like, God, that's a big chunk of the day. And we did a bunch of other stuff. But the next day, we were only there 4 hours because there was no line. We just went to everything, and that was it. Like, but when we got there, I did ride the Hulk, which is their big roller coaster. That's like the big scary thing. Now, when we got there, I just happened to notice there was no line for it. And I got looking at it, and I said, you know, that's probably not that bad, you know. So I asked her, I said, look, I'm ready to go right now. If you want to ride the Hulk, let's ride the Hulk. Let's just do it. There's no line. I don't have to think about it. I just go up there. I get in the seat, and then it's over. I just have to do it. Let's just go. And Yvonne didn't blitz. Yeah, I said, let's go. I'm going. Let's go. So we went, and we got up there, and just like I said, I mean, we walked through this. For an ADD person, Universal Studios is so not designed because you're in this line and you go up and then back down, you know, like just from side to side in this building as you work your way across this big room. And then at the end of the room, there's this line, and then you turn a corner and you figure, okay, well, great, that's where the ride is. Nope, that's not where the ride is. You know what's in that room? Another line. It's a longer. And then the same thing. You figure after you've been waiting that long, well, obviously the ride's, nope, it's not. It's another line. And then the next room, it's another line and another. And pretty soon it's like, you know, I don't really give a damn if I ever get to this ride. I guess we're just going to stand in line. I mean, you go in there, it's about standing in line and hoping that whatever you're standing in line for is worth it. But,
you know, I have
but
to
we
tell
did
you
okay
something.
With it.
I have to tell you something, that Disney used to allow kids with ADHD and, you know, other mental disorders to go to the front of the line if you had, a doctor's note. But just this year, they stopped it.
Ah, I didn't know that.
And I don't know why, because, you know, it's not really fair. Some of these little kids that can't stand still or, you know, some of them with Asperger's or autism, they should be able to go to the front. They really should. Hey, so tell me about the roller coaster. Was it an old-fashioned roller coaster, or?
No. It wasn't. It was. It wasn't a top-mounted one. It was a. You know, you sit in the thing, and, but it was different. It was different than any other one I've been on because normally, you know, you go up the ramp to, you know, slow. But this one, you go up the ramp. You start going up the ramp slow, but then you stop, and there's this loud voice in there doing a countdown. And I'm telling you, when he gets to one, that thing just tears ass out of that tunnel. I mean, going up, like, really, really fast. It threw my head back, and we're going up. And, of course, since I can't see in front of the people there, all I can see above them is the sky, and it just looks like we're just going into the, you know, just going to launch into the friggin' air. But it does this twist and goes around, and it had, like, three loop-de-loops and all these. And, of course, on the loop-de-loops, you're spiraling around the outside of it. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, my God. No way. There was no way you'd get me
You know
on
what,
that.
Though? It's almost – that's the funny part is this, though. You know, I was all whiny and scared before we went in, right? But then Yvonne, she wanted to – she was all gung-ho and do it. So the next day we get on the ride. But like during the ride, Yvonne just clutched onto those handles and went completely catatonic. Even when we got off the ride, she had to sit down because she was so freaked out by it. And I said, well, so what a great opportunity for me to say, well, hey, darling, if you want to go back to the other park, let's go ride that Rip It Rocket because I'm ready to go. And I wasn't, but it didn't matter because I know that she's not going to do it, which is the best time to ask, right?
That's great. She didn't get sick, I hope.
No, no, she actually said that when she got off the roller coaster that she could have. She said, "Tom, I could have thrown up. I really just kind of mentally didn't throw up, but I really could have." I mean, honestly, she was really, she was a little tore up by that thing. But the coolest thing we rode was the Simpsons. That's the best thing they had.
What is that?
You know, it's one of those, you know, like the virtual reality rides where you The video makes you think you're doing stuff that you're not, but the way that, like, if it shows you going down a roller coaster and it banks to the left, it feels like you're on the roller coaster.
Oh, wow. I would love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all over the place. I mean, that's mostly what they have. Most of the rides there are that. I mean, that's...
Wow.
Both Harry Potter rides are that. And,
wait a
second.
Is this near Disney World?
Oh, well, yeah.
Is it right next to it?
An exit down, yeah. It's right in the same area. It's all Walt Disney, but it's just not Disney World. It's just Universal Studios.
Okay.
I'm sure there's probably one in on your side.
There
of
is
the,
Universal
country.
Studios here in L.A., but I don't think it's as big as the one in Florida. No.
It may not be, but if they have the Simpsons ride there, you should check it out. Because
I should.
Honestly, the Simpsons ride, now, if you were to just, if they didn't run the video, all you would see is us in a cart. And it would take a 45-degree down angle kind of fast. It didn't move. It just sat there. But it would shift down to 45 and then come back up, move to the side, and move, which isn't really scary. But when you're watching this video, your mind puts you in a whole different place. I was absolutely terrified on that ride, more so than the Hulk.
Oh, my God.
Yvonne laughed all the way through it, but we were freaking out on that ride because it was just that was the most That ride was more realistic than the Hulk. I mean, it was, you know, and it's a cartoon, which means they can take and do anything. I mean, so you're going down this, it's like it feels like you're going down this roller coaster, and then you go up, and then, you know, this wrecking ball comes and takes out part of the roller coaster, and you can see that, obviously, we need that track to be there, and it's not there anymore. So you go flying off the rails, and then you fall down, and you just happen to perfectly land on this other roller coaster, and then you're on that.
Oh my God!
I mean, but of course, we weren't really doing it. It just felt like it. It was.
Wow, that is so
terrifying.
Cool. I want to go find
it. It was terrifying.
I want to go do this. Yeah.
I know.
Because
when we wanted to do it again
real,
the second day.
I can handle it. What?
Yeah, we were going to do it the second day, but it was just fun. It was fun. You know, it's certainly, I mean, Universal Studios could be, you know, a mile from here, and I would never go by myself. I'm really glad Yvonne made me go. You know, I don't really like to venture out that far from the house, but, you know, it was fun having a crappy hotel. I mean, actually, the crappy hotel actually was just so much fun for us just because, I mean, the people that were staying there and I mean, it was just, the whole thing was just like, you know, wow. I mean, our toilet was broken when we got, I don't remember. I wrote this blog twice and I rewrote it, so I don't know. But when we got there, so I don't know what was in it and what wasn't today. But
I don't think
I know
I read
when we
about
got there, the toilet was broken when
oh
we got
God.
There.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
And it wouldn't, I mean, the fill valve was broken and I called and said, hey, look, I mean, I work at Home Depot. I'm a plumber, and I know if you just need to replace the fill valve today, and it'll be fine. And I don't think it got done. Well, actually, yeah, it might have the second day. I think it did. But so what we were doing, or what I was doing, is I would just take the wastebasket out of the bathroom, fill it up in the tub, and then just fill up the tank and flush it, you know, or just flush it, pour the water in the bowl and flush it. Let me just tell you a trick about doing that. Do not use the hot water. It's not very pleasant. There's a reason. Toilets are better cold water appliances, I think.
I would think so.
So anyway, we learned about that.
So now, is that where the coaching convention was at Universal, at one of the hotels?
Oh, no. No, the coach. This had to be a five. I don't think I've ever been in a hotel this nice. It was the ceilings were 50 feet tall. I mean,
wow.
They literally were. I mean, it was. I couldn't believe how beautiful this hotel was. They had, you know, giant light fixtures that I can't imagine where you buy stuff like that. But
wow.
I mean, the carpet was all nice and patterned. I mean, it was just a beautiful place. They had the valet parking out front, and the, you know. They had everything but the bathroom attendants, you know. It was just a really nice, which I don't even know how to go to a bathroom if there's an attendant in there. I mean, I don't know what his function is. I just think I'd ignore
him.
But anyway, they didn't have
a towel.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and then you're
supposed to
tip him. Yeah.
So, hey, did I miss a spot? I mean, what do you ask him? I don't know. But anyway, but they didn't have that, so that wasn't a problem. But it was a really nice place.
It was held at a very nice hotel.
Yeah.
Jackson.
Really
it,
nice.
Where was it? In Jacksonville? Not Jacksonville.
No, it was in Orlando.
Orlando. Okay.
Strange name for the hotel. Something Shingle, something Rosenshingle.
Really?
I don't know. Rosenshingle Resort. It was a resort hotel.
Oh, okay. Was
yeah.
it hot
I mean,
there
they
or
had
must have been?
Yeah, and actually, now that I think about it, I wasn't even in the hotel. The hotel part was the giant building. We were actually in the convention room, which was a smaller building. So, I mean, I
okay.
can imagine what the hotel. I didn't even bother going into the hotel because it was way too far to walk.
That's
yeah, they
you,
had a,
Tom.
Yeah, and they had a bunch of other conventions on, and you know, a lot of them people these women. I don't know. I guess they were some church group, but all these women wearing these. I don't know, white dresses and white coats with these, like, white top hats. No, they were wearing white top hats. Top hats.
What was that?
With lace on. I don't know. They were nice enough.
You could have gone up and asked them, who are you? Tell me what you do. That would have been great.
You know, I tell you, I could have done that, and I did think about it, and I actually took a breath before I was going to do it. I came so close to doing it, I even took a breath, and as right after I inhaled, I thought, you know, this could really turn into like some long, drawn-out explanation,
yeah.
and I really don't care what the answer is. And I obviously, I'm not going to be rude about it. I mean, I just had, you know. So I just let it be, you know. I figured I'd just ask somebody else who might have asked them, but I think it was some name of some church, and I'm not sure what the name of the church was, but
okay.
There was a bunch of buses there for them. There was a ton of them there. But
whoa.
But we had like this one big room, and I heard Rick Green speak, I heard Alan Brown speak, the lady with ADD Diva.
I don't know her.
Her name escapes me. Dr. Kirsten Milliken.
Okay.
That lady is a hoot. You would never. I think if you go to ADHDpeople.net, it's on there right under the blog that's always at the top. It's the second one down. It's the one I wrote about the conference. Her picture's on there. I would not have believed she was a doctor if someone didn't tell me that. She didn't make a big deal about it. She had purple hair and it was all. You know, I mean,
funny.
She was outstanding. You know, just a real person. I would have, I mean, not a doctor. You know, I mean, she's a doctor, but I mean, she
that's
certainly
so cool.
Didn't. Yeah, oh yeah, it was really, really refreshing. And nothing that she was speaking about had anything to do with, you know, the science or any of that. It was just more like, you know, the art of conversation kind of stuff. You know, how to change the subject. You know, really. Things that people, you know, can be helped by. So she did a fantastic job.
That's great.
And who was one other one? I think I listened to Rick Green. I he did the keynote that I heard the first the beginning of the day, and then I got to another one of his, and I saw I think that was it, Alan, and yeah, I think that might have been it. And Yvonne and I only went to one of them together because every. You know, they have the breakout session, so they'll have like five or six of them going on at one time. And you just
wow.
sort of pick the one you want to go to, and you go in. And I think Yvonne, she really got into it. There was things that I said, all right, well, so let's go and listen to Alan. She goes, no, I want to hear about this. I'm going to get Alan on the next one. And I'm like, oh, well, great, you know. So Alan had, did two presentations that one day, and she went to the one I didn't go to, and I went to the one she didn't go to. So I think it was one – the one with that doctor is the only one that we did together.
Okay.
You know?
That's great.
And
that's great.
She did something on, like, using your imagination, and you had to, like – you had to pick a person in the room and introduce them, but you had to make all the information up.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was a improvement through improv, I think, was the name.
And
of
I bet, and I bet you, I bet the creative mindset just took off in the room. I bet it was really cool.
Yes, I was actually accused of not being very creative, but I argued the fact that I was very creative about what I did. I just introduced the guy standing next to me as myself.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I like that.
So my creativity was in avoiding having to think very much. I found a creative way to not do it while meeting all the checkpoints of the assignment.
What's the doctor's name again?
Kirsten
Milliken. Okay. I got to look her
up. She's on my friends list as of today, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's on the – and her link is on my page. I linked to her. PlayDHD. PlayDHD.com. That's her site.
Okay.
Don't go to PlayDD.com. That's a Japanese porn site. I almost got pretty embarrassed at the conference because after her thing, I was in the lobby, and I went to this site, and this awful image comes up on my thing. I'm like, oh, my God, that's not the site. And I'm, like, trying to cover my screen and everything because I don't want people walking by thinking, what the hell is this guy doing? It's PlayDHD.com.
Oh, I got to look this up. It sounds like it'd be really cool.
Yeah, and I think she does I think she does a podcast, video podcast or audio, and I don't think she does it like every week or every – she just whenever she gets a guest she wants to do, I guess she does it that way. But it's a pretty fun site.
Wow, I got to look it up. Okay. Hey, listen, thanks for calling up.
Oh, sure, it was no problem.
That was great. It was a lot of fun to hear about what you did this past week.
Yeah,
and,
it was a lot of fun to do it.
And, and I'm going to be off. I just was telling everybody before you called that the next 2 weeks I'm in San Francisco, so I'm gone. No show. It's going to be the following week when I come home. We'll have another show.
Okay.
So we'll figure that out.
All right, maybe, we'll talk about it another time. But, yeah, that'll be great. So next 2 weeks you're not going to be in town. You're going to be continuing education kind of stuff?
Yes. Continuing education. I'm up in San Francisco, so yeah, no show for
all
two
right.
weeks, and then we'll figure out the next week. But thanks for calling. You made
my
day.
Thanks for having me, Justine. All right.
All right, Tom. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. So I just want to say goodbye to everybody and remind you again that if you're in the Los Angeles area to please come by and visit our groups, one in Torrance at the Center for Learning Unlimited, 2785 Pacific Coast Highway, and it's Wednesday nights from 7:30 to 9. And then in Culver City, we have another group, and it's 5901 Green Valley Circle. And that's Thursdays from 7:30 to 9. They're both with Chad. A lot of growth going on in both groups. I really appreciate everybody listening today. I thank Tom for calling up and giving us some laughs about the coaching conference he went to and his rides that he went on with his wife. It was just great. So thanks, Tom. And I will be back in 2 weeks. And for everybody that's listening, please stay in the moment, and I'll see you soon.